The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Be able to start up for his support from day one to this day. The Lord bless you, sir. More unction and more grace in Jesus' name. Straight on to the agenda of the day this morning. The Lord bless us. It's our women conference and we have tagged it, The Great Woman. Perhaps you are here this morning, you're like, they're talking about women this morning. I'm not needed in this service. That's not true. We can learn from this topic called The Great Woman. There are so many great women in the Bible, ranging from Esther to Deborah to Mary. They were great women. Esther stood in the gap for her entire nation and she saved her people. Mary, she despised shame in her singleness. She accepted to bear Jesus despite being pregnant before marriage. In Jewish law, it's not allowed. But she despised the shame. She stood up and bore Jesus. Hallelujah. Those were great. Deborah was a great woman, a judge in Israel. And these were great women in the Bible. But this morning, we are going to be looking at one particular great woman whom we are going to be learning from her. And that's the great woman. Let's open our Bible to 2 Kings chapter 4. From verse 8, we're going to be reading together. 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 8 to 17. We're going to read together. And it fell on a day. Let's all read together so that we can follow the story. Because I don't have much time this morning, so that we can learn from this particular woman. And it fell on a day, let's read together please, that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned him thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn him thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? I would that thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Verse 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she had no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Last verse. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Praise the Lord. We've read this story together, and we're going to be looking at the importance of this woman. This woman is great. The reason why we pick this woman as the great woman to be learned from this woman, we want to pick the lessons from this woman this morning. And you know something about this woman? Number one, in first verse that we read, that's verse 8. Let's quickly go there, verse 8 that we read. This woman, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. Shunem is a place whereby it's not popular. Shunem appeared just 3 times in the Bible. It's not like Babylon. It's not like Israel. It's not like Nazareth. Shunem is just like saying, you know, in Ilorin now, let me say, places like Ukelele, Okpomalu, Itakure, Itailepa. There are some remote places that I think they intentionally make their names so funny too sometimes. Those names can be funny. Why didn't they name GRA, you know, those kind of, but you will find some funny names in those remote areas. In Lagos, Ajegunle, Ileile, Ajangbadi. What else? Alakuko, Meron, ehem. But when you, the likes of the good ones, say Adiola Odeko. What else? Lekki Peninsula. Lekki Phase 1, Phase 2, Banana Island. Praise the Lord. There is something about the Shunem. Shunem was not popular in the Bible. It was just mentioned 3 times in the Bible. It was like in the back place. But the Bible mentioned that there was a great woman in Shunem. Elisha passed to Shunem and there was a great woman in Shunem. Number one lesson in this topic, your location is not an excuse. Your location, tell your neighbor, your location is not an excuse. You know, anybody can succeed in a big location. In Abuja, it is probably easy to succeed. It might be possible to succeed in Abuja, in Lagos, in Port Harcourt, because there are opportunities there. But when you go to some remote parts, the tendency of succeeding, of becoming a success, might be slim. But this woman, despite being in a remote area, she was a success. Number one lesson in this topic, your location is not an excuse. Irrespective of where you are, you can succeed. Greatness. You know, when greatness comes out of a particular person in a remote area, if that person goes to a more civilized area, you can be sure that that person is going to make it much more than where she is. You understand what I'm trying to say? Pastor said something sometimes. He said, you can be in UK and not be okay. Your location is not what matters. It is your connection to your God that matters per time. That woman was in Shunem. The Bible didn't mention her name. Bible just says she was a great woman. A great woman in Shunem. Brethren, you may not be relevant, or they may not tag you to be relevant in your family. But when you connect to this God, he brings you out. He brought out David from attending to the sheep. And he showcased him as what? A king of nations. Hallelujah. God is the one that brings you from the backside. He brings you from obscurity to notoriety. He brings you from obscurity to what? To popularity. This morning, the Lord will bring you forth into popularity in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will bring you forward in the name of Jesus. You know, this woman, despite being in a remote area, she was counted great. And this woman must have been a very industrious woman for the Bible to say that she's a great woman. Some of us might be here this morning, you might be attending, you know, attaching blame or thing. Why didn't I come from a popular part of the world? Or why didn't I marry, for maybe some of the women, why didn't I marry a politician so that I can be a great person? Why didn't I study law? Why didn't I read medicine? Why didn't I do that? Instead of greatness, it's not about your location. It's not about what it's, you know, I've seen people selling balloons and they are richer than a medical doctor. I've seen it in my, it's existing. It is not your location per time that matters. It is when you connect to that God that really matters. And so I decree this morning that every power limiting you from breaking forth this morning is destroyed in the name of Jesus. This woman called the woman of Shunem broke every limitation of territories. She broke it. If not for this woman, we wouldn't have mentioned Shunem. Shunem was mentioned slightly in 1 Samuel chapter 28. That was all. And then another place. If not for this woman, we are referring to Shunem because of this woman. This morning, people will refer to you in your family. They will refer to you as an epitome of greatness in your family. You will be an expression of greatness. The land no one has ever crossed, you will cross it. I speak concerning you. The business no one has ever achieved, the Lord will give to you. Before you call one, 10 will come running. This woman moved from the backside to the front side. She was in Shunem, yet she was dwelling in greatness. Some people are in U.S., yet are not okay. I've seen people there, like, they are just managing. The question is, why can't you come back home? Because of shame. But for you and I this morning, the Lord will lift you up in the name of Jesus. Another number two thing to be learned from this woman is that this woman, if we followed in while we were reading, this woman was barren. She was great despite her barrenness. This woman was barren. Not just barren, no, her husband was old. When they asked assistant pastor Gehazi, he said, what is wrong? He said, my Lord, Uluwamiu. Didn't you see? The woman has no child. In fact, her husband is... You know, praise the Lord. This woman was great. I want us to learn from this woman. Many people, once they are faced with challenges, they dwell more on that challenge. And they allowed their identity to be swallowed up by that reproach. This woman was not swallowed up by her reproach. We have seen women in the Bible that were swallowed up by that woman that had issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible made us say she spent all she had. And the way the Bible described her was what? The woman with the issue of blood. But this woman was barren. Yet they didn't say the woman that was barren. She was a great woman in Shunem. She didn't allow her reproach to be swallowed up. She didn't allow her identity to be swallowed up by her reproach. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever challenge you're going through, don't allow it swallow you up. Tell your neighbor, don't allow it swallow you up. This woman's results swallowed up her reproach. There is nothing that can swallow up a person's identity like adversity. Adversity can swallow up a man's, and you know, in those times, fruitfulness was a very key thing in the Jewish law. So if you are not fruitful, they tend to note you. But this woman chose not to. She was reckoned great. Do you know sometimes when you are doing well and you allow some little challenges to swallow you up? Perhaps you are trusting in the Lord for the fruit of a womb, or perhaps you are trusting in the Lord for a husband or for a wife. If you are successful in whatever you are doing and you allow that challenge weigh you down, don't be shocked. That particular, it will start eating into that particular thriving business. And before you know it, because of worry, because of, you know, do you understand? Because of so many, you are thinking, it is written all, what is wrong with you? Your face is so long. Don't you know? I've been trusting in the Lord since the past 13 years. No husband. I am 55, yet none has come. It is written all over your face. Why? Because, and if your care is not taken, that particular reproach will take over that person's identity. Hallelujah. So I've come to encourage all this, another lesson to be learned from this woman, that despite her reproach of barrenness, she refused to be identified by that reproach. Rather, do you know, even when Elisha asked her, she said, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? The woman said, don't worry. I dwell among my own people. In other words, it's not that she was contented, but she was satisfied. She wasn't worried. She wasn't a worried person. She didn't allow her reproach to disturb her. Whatever challenge it is, don't allow that challenge to disturb you. Tell your neighbor, don't allow that challenge to disturb you. You know something? The devil does not have time to fight with people that don't have a future. He fights with people that knows that their future is bright. Pastor has said this severally, that when you see a mango tree or you see an orange tree that has good fruits ready to be plucked, you see people throwing stones at it. It's because your future is bright. That is why the enemy wants to put reproach across your way. He disturbed Job. He disturbed even Abraham. The Bible made us understand Abraham was a friend of God. As great as Father Abraham is, or was, or he still is. Hallelujah. This man was still faced with what? Barrenness. Isaac was faced with barrenness. Everyone at every point in time had a particular reproach or the other. But the lesson is, don't allow your particular challenge or adversity that you are passing through per time, because it is time bound. Somebody say time bound. Every problem has an expiry date. How many of us know that? If you buy a drug and it has no expiry date, NAFDAC will catch the person. Because everything that was made must... Problems have an expiry date. It is only God's blessings that do not have an expiry date. He's one that blesses and addeth no sorrow. Hallelujah. If whatever challenge you are going through, don't allow it swallow you up. Somebody say, don't allow it swallow you up. Many have faced it. Abraham faced it. Isaac faced it. David, Ruth. Look at this great woman. So Ruth. Ruth was a woman that her husband died. Yet, she clinged to Naomi. Ejo, what is she clinging for? The person that you got married to has died. What else? And Ruth, Naomi told her, even if I give birth to another son, you can't marry. Go. Orpah, when she saw that there was nothing physical again remaining, Yoruba will say, oh, best says, she talked to her leg and then she waka. But Ruth said, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. She was a woman that saw beyond the now. She didn't allow that particular challenge that she didn't have a husband or she can't. Staying with that woman might be a challenge in the sense that go and look for another mother-in-law and marry. She? you are still pretty. Why are you staying here? She was a woman. She didn't allow the problem of my husband died. Oh, fine. I'm a widow. To hinder her from forging ahead. She looked beyond the now. And so she stayed with Naomi. She said, your God shall be my God. This morning, I'm encouraging somebody, whatever challenge you're going through, don't allow it swallow your identity. This great woman of Shunem was great. It was until Elisha even asked. Even Elisha did not know. She said, how can we help her? She was asking Gehazi, so-called assistant, how can we help this one? Because if it had been written all over her that she didn't have a child, Elisha need not have asked Gehazi. But he asked Gehazi because he didn't know. This woman is so full of joy, so bubbly. In what way can I use to help this woman? How can I pay her back? It wasn't written. Tell your neighbor, don't let your challenges be written over your face. It has an expiry date. And today shall be the date. In the name of Jesus. There's a particular song I just love. I will close down on the highway. Through the darkest night, will you hold my hand? Jesus, guide my way. Oh, will you mourn with me and you dance with me? For my heart of hearts is bound to you. Though I walk through valleys low, I fear no evil. By the waters stir my soul. My heart will trust in you. Oh, my heart will trust in you.
You know the words of that song? Whatever it is, let your heart be bound to him. Even when you walk through valleys, you went through, even when you mourn, whatever it is, let your heart be bound. Serve God. Hold on to this God. The more, even with whatever challenge it is you have, hold on to him. Some people hold on to God when things are good. And when things are not rosy, they let go. I got a different revelation of Exodus 23, 25 yesterday when I was studying. Exodus 23, 25 says, and you shall serve the Lord your God. And he will bless your bread and water. He said, and I will take away. The Holy Spirit gave me another meaning of that that latter part. When you take away something, it means something has been there before. I don't know if you got the way I'm getting it. He didn't say, and I will not put sickness in your midst. No. He said, I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. He said, and you shall serve. The more you serve, it means there has been probably challenges. If you have stumbling block, you have blocks piled up on the way and you are walking. You are serving him. He said, and you shall serve the Lord your God. The more you serve him, he will bless your bread and your waters. Those stumbling blocks are already there. But he said, as you serve him, I will take it away. Did you get that? The more you serve him, the more you hold on to him. But you know, if there are stumbling blocks now, let me use the speakers for example. If they're like on my path, and the more I'm serving him, all right, those speakers are already there. He has said it. But the more you serve him, he said, I personally, he won't send angels. He said, I will take it away. But the condition for the, those stumbling blocks are reproaches. They can be sickness. They can be addiction. They can be oppression. Whatever it is, he knows they are there already. He knows. But the more you serve him, I will take it. You English, take it is different from I will not give it to you. I will not allow it. There are two different things. It has been there, but I will remove it. For everyone here this morning, harden your service to God, and he will remove every reproach in your life. In the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor your reproach is over today. Number three, this woman was great despite being married to an uninspiring man. The Bible made us understand that she was a great woman in Shunem. They didn't mention a woman that was married to a great man in Shunem. Her husband was a passive man. He's not an active man. Hallelujah. One of the best things that can happen to a woman is to be married to a bulldozer. A bulldozer is somebody that inspires you. Let's do this. Let's invest. Let's pray. Let's go to church. He inspires you. One of the worst things that can happen to a woman is to be married to a person that you have to tow. Let's go to church. Oh, yeah. My husband, You will not go and work. That work is not so okay. I'm looking for a better pay. My husband, you will not. Let's try and you have some money. Let's try and buy a land. My Asho is old. Let me try and change it. The worst thing that can happen to a woman is to be married to a person that you have to tow. For the single ladies, may you not marry such a man. You will marry a bulldozer. A bulldozer is someone that, you know, when you put, can you use a bulldozer? If you want to use a bulldozer to tow, let me use an Okada safe. That Okada is gone. Tow a car with it is gone. There's nothing a bulldozer cannot tow. It is giddy by on ground. May you marry a bulldozer kind of husband. And for the women, if you are married to any of such man that you have to tow, the Lord will step in today. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will step in today. In the name of Jesus. This woman of Shunem's, her husband was uninspiring. He was a man that was laid back. In verse 19, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 19, I read. He says, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. This man's only son that eventually came in his old age was sick. And I expected the man to at least show some concern. My daddy, my head, say, go and take him to his mother fast. The mother will sort it out. And this woman, knowing the kind of husband she had, took, the Bible said, if you read further, let's read further. The child died, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on his knees till noon and then died. Next verse. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. The next verse. She called unto her husband. She didn't even bother to tell the husband that the child has died because it's of no use. He said, he called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God. And the husband asked, what for? He said, it's why we need the Latin more. It is well. He said, wherefore will thou go to him today? It is neither noon moon. His son, he didn't even ask, what happened to my son that was sent to you? You see, okay, that man was a passive man. He was not an active man. May you not marry that kind of such a man in Jesus' name. He was uninspiring. Despite this woman of Shunem was great. Despite marriage to such an honest. This woman had so many challenges. Number one, what was the first reproach? She was barren. Number two, the husband was passive. No, the husband was, that should be like number three. Number one is what? Her location. Located in Shunem. Yes, she succeeded. Number two, she was barren. Yet he didn't allow her to be less great. Number three, and only Kai, those combinations are horrible. Honestly. But yet this woman was still great. Your greatness will emerge. I say your greatness will emerge in the name of Jesus. Number four, spiritual sensitivity. In verse 9. You know, before I read, read in that verse 9. In still that, on that third point, where we said you had married to an uninspiring man. If it were today's women, somebody would say, I didn't come to church because my husband didn't allow me. I have to cook for my husband. You know the way he is now. He won't come to church. He won't do this. This woman did not allow anything to hold her down. She was still very vibrant in the things of God. And so her greatness, your own greatness, must emerge in the name of Jesus. And then the next point is spiritual sensitivity. Somebody say sensitivity. In verse 9 that we read, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive. Somebody say perceive. She perceived that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Spiritual sensitivity is key to greatness. This is our month of supernatural elevation. Elevation and greatness can be amounts to be synonymous. It is for you to be great in life, you have to be spiritually sensitive. Tell your neighbor sensitive. This woman would have allowed Elisha to pass by without entertaining him. She would have allowed her, but something dropped in her mind and said, I mustn't let this man go. And he said unto her, behold, I perceive that he's an holy man of God, which passed by us. She sensed it. She was spiritually alert and she swung into action. May you be sensitive spiritually. I say, may you be sensitive spiritually. Deuteronomy 29:29. Quickly, let's read. 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the Lord. Revelation is key to liberation. Revelation is key to liberation. Revelation is key to elevation. You cannot be elevated if you have not been what? Sensed spiritual sensitivity. You must have a higher level of spiritual sensitivity. You know this woman, perception is key to your destination. The way, if not for her perception, she would have probably been barren. She would have still remained barren. But her perception opened her up to what? Fruitfulness. Her perception, immediately after that verse, immediately she perceived that this was a man of God. Something drastic happened in her life. Perception is key to your destination. Don't just walk all the time. Don't just, whatever you're doing for a living, you're working, you're schooling, don't just do it without sensitive spirituality. You must be sensitive. The grace to know him. The more you know him, the more God directs you. Abraham was sensitive enough to know that when some particular strangers came to him, they came as strangers. But they were not strangers. They were angels in disguise. And because he was sensitive enough, he entertained them. Is it easy to entertain such a strange? Is it every day? Is it easy to just go inside and kill a big cow for strangers you don't know from anywhere? He even demanded, instead of Rabbi, said, Oga, I beg, show my money, are they your family? Please, I can't stress. But Sarah was up and doing. She helped to bake a cake. She did so. She garnished. And when they ate, perception is key to your destination. There are some people in your life that when you think that they are your friends, but perception helps you to discover that these ones are enemies. Perception helps you to know these ones are not just your guy, your friends that you should be going around with. This particular one is your husband. Perception as a single lady helps you. You're about to say, Olamajeka fi oko se boyfriend. Perception helps you to decipher your husband to be, and don't use him to do toothpick. You praise the Lord. It's perception. When I met my husband, there was something in me that affirmed it. And then he was still doing, like that. But I went, you know what I did? I went to settle it in the place of prayers. I said, Lord, if it is your will. Because then I didn't know what happened to me. He refused to talk. And me, I cannot also talk. I have to form levels. But there are some, wisdom is essential. I didn't want to form level in his front. But I went back into my prayer. And I said, Lord, I cannot form levels, but you know better. If this man is your will, let him open his mouth. If it's not your will, I don't want to see him. Put hatred in my heart. I don't even want to like him at all. Those prayers may look funny, but God answered it. Honestly. So it is, as a single lady, don't just walk aimlessly. Don't befriend people aimlessly. Highly spiritual sensitive is essential. There are some people in my life, when I can't get a spiritual signal, I don't know if your friendship with me is safe or unsafe. You know what I do? I got this from one of my fathers in the Lord. I will call their names in the place of prayer and I will blast in tongues. God that sees my inner heart. The Bible said the Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. I will call their names and I will start blasting in tongues. Whatever it is necessary. The Lord will help me to settle it. And the Lord will reveal to me. If this person that is coming to me is like a friend, it's not a friend, it's an enemy in disguise. Lord, reveal it. And somehow the Lord has been helping. Brethren, we cannot live in this wicked world and you lack spiritual sensitivity. It will destroy you. Spiritual sensitivity is key to your greatness. Many people are great, but their inability to be sensitive spiritually has landed them in a problem. May that not be your portion. As women, there are some people that they appear as friends of your husband. Daddy, what? They can kneel down for the husband, but they are probably looking for ways to take your place. No one will take your place in the name of Jesus. I tell some women, I said, look, if I see any lady flocking around, I don't have time for such lady. I will go and finish her in the place of prayers. You just start smelling like an obuko. Obuko is he goat. Honestly, Don't, if you have, God forbid such happens, but you practice that, you sense that somebody is trying to, you know, where I have walked, go back to the place of prayer. Everyone, let them begin to smell. You will come back and pray. Sensitivity is key to greatness. Tell your neighbor it is key. Hallelujah. Sensitivity is key. May God give you grace to be spiritually sensitive. The next point, generosity. Number three, pray always is essential. Number five point is generosity. Say generosity. Many people were generous in the Bible. Great men are always generous men. You cannot separate greatness from generosity. If you see a great person, that person, Abraham was a great man. He was generous. The Bible said he had 318 men lived in his house. He fed them. You think it's easy? He fed them. That's a generous man. David was so generous that there was a day Pastor opened our eyes to see so much gold, so much investment that this man left just to build the house of God. These were great men. Greatness is not by mouth. It's not cheap. It takes a price. One of the price is what? Generosity. Give. Don't be a kagomistic. Don't be a yuhu gum. Ew. Don't be. This woman of Shunem, if you read in verse 18, the Bible says she came in. If you read in verse 8, that we first started, verse 8, sorry. The Bible says she constrained him to eat. Constraining means you are forcing. Do you know there are levels of come and eat? If I set a plate of amala, ewedu, igbi, snail that has pepper snail, chicken, totimuta, small pomo that has pepper, put it, stockfish. Pastor is smiling at me. I will make it up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You now have touch on top. Somebody now comes knocking on your door. You now say, I appreciate you. Please join me, oh. And then you start saying, you start eating. That kind of person, you have said join me, oh. But it's not a giver. It's not a giver. But if you say, I appreciate you. Join me now. And the person said, no. Oh, Mishan Walele, please wash and join me. And the person still insists and say no. Okay, you cannot retreat. That's another level. But another level is, join me. No. Oh, Mishan Walele, I will pack it for you. You now go inside. You pack it. You must take it. That's another level. So if you greet somebody in your house and they say, come and join me, you can size up from this teaching that person is not a giver. You too, don't now go and time it. Anyway, this person will be eating by 2:00. I have to go. They just received some teaching. The Lord will help us. But you know, honestly, this woman's generosity ended the reproach of many years in her life. The Bible says she constrained Elijah to eat. Alas, her constraining Elijah, when Elijah asked her in the latter verse, she said, what is it that I may do for you? She said, nothing, my Lord. I am weak. Elijah was saying, let me help you. I can speak for the king. What is it? What favor do you want me to do for you? They can get you a land. They can do this. But this woman just said, nothing. I'm okay. Why? She was given not for any condition. Don't let your giving be condition tied. Many people give because they can also get back in return. Let your giving be unconditional. When it is unconditional, then it goes with a reward. Hallelujah. But you know something about this woman? If you read, for those times she had been constraining Elijah, nothing really happened. But in verse 9, when she perceived that Elijah was a man of God that passed by them continually, in the next verse, she quickly went to her husband. Let us make him a little chamber. Let us do this. She stepped up her giving. Before, she was constraining Elisha to eat. All right? Nothing happened. But immediately she took her giving to a sacrificial giving. It is sacrificial for you to build a house for a man of God and equipped it fully furnished with the things needed by that man of God. When Elisha saw it, Elisha had been eating correct soup, be filled, he will pass it out, nothing. And they will say, God bless you, and he will go. But when the level of giving stepped further to a sacrificial one, it ended the reproach of many years in her life. It was then Elijah said, go and call her for me. There must be something that this woman needs. And she was called. She said, look, I'm okay. I dwell among my own people. Elisha said no. But what? Apropos Elisha, Gehazi said, ah, my lord, go no more. Our husband is old. He cannot do anything. And then Elisha said, oh, if that is it, according to the time of life, you will have it. That thing came and it came to pass. Why? Because she was generous, sacrificial giving. There are times that when you have a particular reproach or adversity or a challenge that has stayed for too long, you have been given. You have been giving, giving, giving. You have been paying. You have been doing this. It's still not working. Step it up with a sacrifice. Solomon, Pastor taught us this morning in our orchestrating, offered a sacrificial offering, 1,000 burnt offerings. You think it's easy to sacrifice 1,000 cows on a single day? It's not easy. And God gave him a blank check. Blank. Feel it. What do you want? I'm all there. Whenever you step up your giving to a sacrificial level, you give yourself a blank check. Brethren, enough of collecting. Learn to be a great woman. This woman of Shunem was, despite the fact she was the owner of the money, because the Bible made us understand that she was the great woman, she went to her husband to ask for permission. That's another lesson, humility. She asked for permission to build a house, and she built a man of God. And immediately, that reproach came to an end. Because of time, I can't read. There was a particular story in 2 Kings chapter 3 as well that had to do, I think verse 26 to 27. There was a great war, and those people were being destroyed. But something happened to that king. That king sacrificed his heir. The throne, the person that should have been, the king in place of him. He was not a believer. He sacrificed his son. And because of that sacrifice, the Bible says there was a great indignation against Israel. There was something. Your sacrifice makes your reproach come to an end. When we're trusting God for the fruit of the womb, our sacrifice, that money then was sacrificial to us because of our level of income. My husband and I gathered together, we prayed, and we pledged. Hallelujah. And God, a few months after, the way opened. For you this morning, the Lord will open up doors for you. In the name of Jesus. Number six, my time is far spent. Diligence. Somebody say diligence. This woman equipped Elisha's room. You cannot give what you don't have. She equipped Elisha's room with something, with work tools. She didn't even use chair. Chair has back, right? Stool. So that he can do a brutal walk. Hallelujah. When you use stool, you cannot relax. You have to sit down like this. Table. He didn't equip him with TV. AC, bed. She put bed. She didn't put TV. What else? iPad. What else? Things that will make the man of God so comfortable. The fridge, air conditioner. She equipped that place needed for the kind of work she thought the man of God should do. You cannot give what you don't have. That woman must have been a person that has been a diligent person in the place of prayers as well. She knows what it is that a man of God should need, and she did it. Diligence ends you where? In greatness. If you are not diligent as a person, you cannot end up being great. Wake up from slumber. There is a price to pay. That man, the uninspired, laid-back man of that woman, I'm sorry, if he had been an inspiring man, the Bible would have made mention of him that the woman that got married to, the woman got married to a great man in Shunem. Diligence, masculinity is responsibility. Femininity as well is also responsibility. Being a woman is not about tying good gele, having nice makeup. It's okay to do all that, to dress well. But you know something? Being a great woman, what? You have to be, diligence is key. Tell your neighbor, diligence is key. Key. You have to invest in your children. Women, you cannot give what you don't have. If you see a godly woman, she will give birth to godly children. Because she has it, she can easily pass it. Jochebed had three children. Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. The three of them were believers. They served God. There's a stupid slang in Yoruba. They say, if Ile is Toro, if a house is calm, it's because the bastard there has not arose. I don't believe such. Jochebed had 3. All the 3 served God. If you have 20, this woman of God that gave birth to the Wesley children, all her children served God. Woman, if you have 10, if there's any woman here that wants to have 10, it's okay. If you have the resources. If you have 10, all the 10 must serve God. But they cannot serve God if you yourself have not been serving that God. If you are a backbiter as a woman, your children will backbite. If you gossip, they will gossip. Diligence in as it regards to a woman is not just being diligent in your work alone. Over your children, help them with their assignments. Train nobody. Teachers will not train your children for you. Nobody will. You have to do those training yourself. And the Bible says a wise woman builds a home. Building is also training those children. The Lord will give you grace to train them well in Jesus' name. You know, it's always painful having worked. You have invested in your children. And at the old age, when they're supposed to be giving you joy, you start hearing, hello, is this Mama Lagbaja? Your child is in the police station. Hello, we're appearing in the court tomorrow. What happened? May that not be your portion. Your children will give you rest. Diligence is what? I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of Full Housewife. If you are here, you're not doing anything as a woman. Get something doing. We read about Proverbs chapter 31 woman yesterday. Proverbs chapter 31 woman, when we read yesterday, the verse, the particular verse said, she walketh willingly with her hands. She walketh willingly. That means there's a level you can be forced to walk. And you can walk willingly. When you are forced to walk, it's because hunger wants to mama you. But when you walk willingly, you can even be married to Trump. You can be married to anybody, but you want to walk willingly. Every woman that is here, if your husband loves full time, it's okay. Tell your husband, your pastor said, in fact, the Bible says it. A wife, she walks willingly, a virtuous woman walks willingly with her hands, willingly. You can be selling a recharge card from your house. You are still full-timing the thing. You can make hair. You can bake. You can cook. You are still full-timing. You're still full-time. You're not full-timing the thing. You are still full-timing. But please get something doing. No lazy woman can end up great. There is a price to pay. The Lord will give us grace in the name of Jesus. So the Lord will give us grace. Winston Churchill said the price for greatness is responsibility. So for the people in the house, I want to charge you, take responsibility. Be responsible. Most young ladies want to marry a guy rich. I want to marry a rich guy. Loaded. Probably from a good home. 2 cars. This one. That one. In fact, the world has changed. Even the young men who want to marry a rich woman, they want to marry a rich lady. Before they scope, they go and do research. They say, she's from which family? Is her father boxed up? Does she have connection? So that she can also help me. So gone are those days when it is only the woman. Wake up! Whether it is man or woman, take responsibility. Don't ever take responsibility. Be responsible. Those people that you want to be like, those rich men, you can also be. And from today I decree, you will be the great person of your generation. In your lineage, you'll be the great person that women will be talking about. In the name of Jesus. So shall it be. Tell your neighbor, be diligent. It pays. Hallelujah. And then lastly, surrender to God. Lastly, surrender to God. In verse 9, this woman perceived that Elisha was a man of God. This woman, from what we have explained, she was not an unbeliever. She was a believer. When you surrender all to God, it is easy for God to place you high. It is easy. When you surrender everything to God, God can easily bless you. God cannot bless you when you haven't surrendered all to Him. When you surrender all to Him, it is easy for Him to bless you. He directs your path. He will channel your path. And I pray for you and I that we will enjoy direction in the name of Jesus. You know, that point of surrender to God is the beginning of your greatness. The moment you surrender it all, there's a song, I surrender all to you. That point you surrender it all is the point you have told God, just take it, take it, take it. All of me. I mean, none of me and all of you. Is that point you want God to take charge? Ruth was a woman. She surrendered all. She said, your people shall be mine. And your God, at that point, she wasn't thinking, how will I get another husband? When you surrender to God, what happens? Greatness. You have positioned yourself. If you have a small radio here, you can put it on and you'll be hearing shh. But immediately you position it to the right frequency, what happens? Clear word. You begin to enjoy whatever is being said from the radio. Brethren, this morning I've come to encourage you. When you surrender yourself to Jesus, when you surrender yourself, you have just positioned yourself for greatness.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.